Hey, what it do, sports fans? Welcome to the Sports Live podcast brought to you by Multimedia Live. I'm Sboom Jikeliso, your host, and I will be joined by various guests on this exciting new podcast to discuss the latest ins and outs of the sporting world.
I got broken dreams. Hey, yo, Ini Christian Khatebe. Yeah, that's the voice of Ini Khatebe, the fly harp that you've just heard spitting some rhymes. It was quite a fiery diss track that he released last year, and I finally managed to catch up with him to talk to him about what prompted him to write that song and record it and put it out there. It's quite amazing. I think it's the first time that I've heard a rugby player actually go out on a limb and express himself in the way that Ini Khatebe has done, putting it in song. And I have to tell you this, that boy has got some skills, yo. He's got some bars. That aside, we had to talk about the rugby, and the article that I did was for SA Rugby magazine. So if you want to read the full article on Ini Khatebe, a nice little exclusive that I've got there. Here, though, I want to give you a piece of what the interview was about, and that's going to come up next. And just to tell you a little bit about this conversation in particular that we're having, is we're talking about what actually prompted him to write and record a diss track where he pretty much goes in on the Sharks, he goes in on agents and a few things that were botched along his career, and of course the big transformation cloud that still lingers up over rugby at the moment. And it was quite a fascinating conversation. Just a word of warning, the venue where we actually had the chat was at So Fresh Barber. Shout out to them. Shout out to So Fresh Barber out there in Bryanston. They let us use the venue so that we can record the interview, so we can meet. It was a nice central point for myself as well as Ini. So we went there, we got some haircuts, we got so freshened up, me and Ini, and we got to talking in this conversation about that diss track, about his career coming out of Craven Week in 2013. Playing for the Golden Lions, playing 2 years of Craven Week, boy with a bullseye boot, coming out of St. Stithians College as well, going on to play for UKZN MP, as well as UKZN Under-19s, playing for the Sharks, and by 22 he was already capped. These are the things we spoke about, but do heed that little bit of a warning that there might be a little bit of chatter in the background, as well as a slight buzzing noise of the Clippers, of course, it being a barber. You do expect that you're going to hear some Clippers in the background, but very, very soft background noise, and you can hear the interview in its entirety. But this is the conversation that I've had with Ini Khatebe. Again, for the full interview, get the latest issue of SA Rugby magazine. It's got Bongi Mbonambi in the cover, and it's got a few fascinating stories, just by the way, before I cross to this interview. If you haven't heard about or listened to the Hilton Roberts story, you have to absolutely read that one. That one is a jaw-dropper as well. It's one of those where he really doesn't hold anything back, names players and coaches, mostly coaches that did him wrong. He talks about his dyslexia and how it affected him while he was playing, and how it's affecting him even more now that he's stopped playing and he's looking for a job because he doesn't have any skills and he didn't get any qualifications to do anything other than rugby. So a guy who's known rugby all his life, and this guy was a Springbok at 20 years old, Hilton Roberts, and now he's, I think he was in the training squad of the Stormers team beginning of the season or in preseason. John Dobson called him over, perhaps to have a look at his physique and his assessment. But Hilton Roberts is a little long in the tooth now. And so, unfortunately, guys like Juano or Augustus, your Johan Dutoits, and all those fellas are definitely well ahead of him in the Stormers pecking order. But he's still in and around there. He might play some rugby at Hamilton's. I don't want to spoil the story for you. You need to get out there, read the latest SA Rugby magazine. But this is the conversation that I had with Eni Khatebe.
I got broken dreams, man. I started playing rugby, now I'm out just spitting rhymes. Man, these haters always tell me that I'm never gonna shine. I'm here to claim the game, here to take what's mine. I'm here to tell my story because you know that it's my time.
Thanks for coming through and chatting to me.
Thanks for having me.
It's been a crazy couple of days since we caught on to your little rap there going on. So what sort of influenced that particular video? How long have you, when was it done, and how long have you been keeping it in the bank?
Yeah, so I mean, my story happened about 2 years ago, so I've been quiet for 2 years about it.
Yeah,
haven't really like published it out there, haven't really told it to the public.
Yeah.
But my family obviously knows, my close friends know about it. And this year I got to Rovers, so I was playing for College Rovers early in the year in Durban, and I started chatting to a couple of guys that I played with when I was still with the Sharks. And I just got to chatting about their stories and how they ended up at Rovers, and that sort of opened my eyes to the fact that so many good players are being lost in the system. Guys who are 25, 26 years old, a year prior to that, they were contracted to Western Province or the Lions or wherever it may be.
Yeah.
And then a year later, they find themselves out in the rugby wilderness.
Yeah, yeah.
So that opened my eyes to the reality of this situation that we're in. And so during the Murray Cup with Rovers in Durban, I started writing. And music has always been something that I've been passionate about. It's always been a hobby of mine, something to do outside of rugby to keep me busy. So I started writing this song just about my own personal experience, and the more I chatted to mates of mine, the more I chatted to people who have been at that top level, the more realistic it became and the more the trend started developing. So I started this song about 3-4 months ago. And I finished it about 3-4 months ago, so it took me about 2 weeks to write. And I was just sitting on it. I didn't know whether I should post it or not. I didn't want to, you know, get myself in a situation where I'm in a corner and I'm in trouble and all the attention is on me. But like I say, the more I chatted to other guys who have been through my experience, the more I felt like I needed to post it. I finished it about 3-4 months ago. From support of family members and close friends, they sort of encouraged me to go out and post the video. I knew it would get some attention. I thought it would just sort of engage my followers that I have on social media, but I never expected it to get as big as it did and reach a wider audience. So it eventually got a little bit big. I just think the support that I've received from that video has been massive. It's been, it really has been unbelievable. And the messages that I'm getting from people saying, like, this needed to be said. So many of us are going through the same thing. It needed to be said, but nobody's saying it. So I just felt like it was the right time. That's how I got to writing.
It's out there now, bruv. You were playing Super Sport Rugby Challenge beginning of the year, right? And you said some stuff about the Sharks. Didn't they come back to you and say, dude, what's up with that?
Not at all. Yeah. I never heard back from the Sharks after I said those things. But I mean, I know that this video has maybe hurt a lot of people and it stepped on some toes and aggravated a few people. But that was my intention. My intention was to create debate. Right. I want people to start talking about the issues that are just being swept under the rug.
Yeah.
And it's been happening for so long that it's time to actually start changing it. You know, so I never heard back about what I spoke about. But I mean, it's something that needed to be said, not just from a personal point of view, but for so many players out there that are experiencing the same thing. So I've made peace with the fact that I may never play professional rugby again, and it's something that I've prayed about, it's something that I've chatted to my family about, And I've made peace with it because maybe that's not God's path for me. Yeah. Maybe I can influence the game by doing something like what I've done, by posting a video, by highlighting all the indiscrepancies within the rugby system that we have in our country,
yeah.
And helping future generations to not experience the same problems and the same issues that I've had to go through. So that was my intention for posting the video. But yeah, hopefully we can start a discussion and get some momentum behind it and start changing the game.
Wild to me that, what, 24, 25 years old?
Yeah.
When are you turning 25?
In January.
Only in January?
Yeah, so I'm 24.
That is wild to me, that you're already thinking about maybe the doors are closing right now, when you should be really up there, sort of being maybe next generation.
Yeah.
Guys who are fighting for Springbok places, for instance, I know there will be a lot of changes post World Cup, which always happens.
Yeah, yeah.
In the new cycle, you should be at the very least part of the new cycle of guys who are playing regularly, fighting for a spot, Super Rugby place. And it's crazy to me that you're already thinking about, you know, maybe I need to cut my losses in this game, right?
Yeah, no, it is crazy, but again, you know, like, I've been doing a lot of soul searching in the past years and been reading a lot of similar stories, but in different sports, guys who have gone through difficulties, and why I enjoy music so much is because you can tell a story, and if someone doesn't like it, they don't have to listen to it.
It's not like
you're forcing it upon somebody to listen to it. So I listen to rappers like Joyner Lucas, J. Cole, and that's why my sort of flow in the rap is like similar to what they do. I enjoy telling a story through my music. And if you look at those guys' backgrounds, they also didn't have it easy.
Yeah.
So there was a time when Joyner Lucas was out on the street, didn't have anything, and was also ready to give up, turned to music, started telling his story, and gained momentum from that. So if I can influence rugby, so if I can tell a story through my music and change rugby at the same time, then I'm more than happy to do that, even if it means that I don't get all the glory in the rugby, on the rugby platform.
Are you still? Are you still mates with KG?
We're still good friends. We catch up every now and then. Yeah.
He's also musically.
So
you. I think you guys picked up at school.
I think so. We both did drama at school,
I
think that's where that sort of stemmed from. So we did drama at school, and I think it's just a form of expression, a form of getting away from the game and the professional environment.
Yeah.
All the pressures that come with that. So it's chill to just get away, put some headphones on, play a track, and just see what you can come up with in the moment.
I think that's dope.
Yeah, no, it's cool.
And on the topic of your career, you broke through fairly young. A lot of people still see your career as like you were one of the talented guys that came through. Especially in your current year. And then under 20 year, there were questions of injuries and things didn't really go exactly as planned. But how did you kind of like plan your rugby career at such a young age whereby a lot of things were probably going your way, from the beginning?
I think it's really tough. It really is tough. And if you look at the modern game, it's becoming more professional from a younger age.
Yeah.
So guys at 17, 18 years old are being offered contracts or professional contracts to go and join a union as soon as they matriculate. So it's really tough. I think you need a good support system around you. So family, close friends are really important. Mentors are really important. I mean, I was lucky enough to have a few guys, when I got to the Sharks, I was lucky enough to have a few guys who saw my potential and were willing to give me be a sounding board and to sort of protect me from the outside influences, because there are a lot. There's a lot that can go wrong at such a young age in a professional environment with all the pressures that come with it. There's so much that can go wrong. And I had a few guys who were able to sort of direct me in the right direction, or to steer me. Guys like Terum Tembu, Odwen Dingani, Keegan Daniel. So guys like that who saw something in a 18-year-old boy, saw potential, saw a shining light, and were willing to just offer up their experiences, offer up their advice. And I think that helped a massive amount. And then also just my family. So, yeah, to my family, I was still just the baby of the family. Even though I was out there on TV every week, on a big platform. So, yeah, I think you just need to have a good support system around you. And then also, I mean, I also learned a lot of lessons early on in my professional career that now I'm really grateful for. I don't regret any decisions that I've made. Even if I don't play professional rugby again, I don't regret any of the decisions that I've made, because I feel I'm at a place where I needed to go through those things. I needed to experience what I've experienced. It's going to make me a better person. It's going to make me a better character. And if God willing, I do play professional rugby again, it's going to make me a better rugby player as well. So,
yeah. Right now, are you contracted anyway?
No, so I'm planning on heading back to Durban next year to play for College Rovers. So next year is another Gold Cup year, so it's big for them. Okay, and then hopefully I can contribute to some success there as well.
Overseas, have you heard anything maybe on that front?
Nothing as of yet. But yeah, I mean, I also, just with the rugby side of things, I think taking the step back or being knocked off a pedestal has helped me a lot. It's helped me work on the little things in my game that probably weren't good enough to be at Super Rugby level or Curry Cup level. And it's given me an opportunity to go back and sit down and just put all my energy into making sure that I'm the best player I can be. So sorting out all of those little weaknesses or work-ons, if you want to call it that. This year at Rovers has given me a lot of confidence. Played some good rugby, I believe. Played some good rugby, made some good friends, and that's what rugby is about. Just building relationships. And such a short career, you're not going to be able to do this forever. So, for now, I'm just living in the moment, playing my best rugby and making as many friends and memories as I can.
Speaking of short, you've already had a year in which you weren't active, where you weren't playing the game.
Yeah.
Was that due to injury? Because I was told you also had a knee problem.
Yeah.
Which I don't know if it developed at the Lions, or did the Lions pick it up? Where has it developed at the Sharks?
So it was a thing where I was playing for the Sharks in 2017 or in 2016. I picked up a lateral meniscus injury against Border, went in for surgery, came out of that surgery fine, did all my rehab, got back onto the field, and I played some good rugby. And then in 2017, I was lucky enough to make my Super Rugby debut for the Sharks, which I'm forever grateful for, because I've had the opportunity to live my dream. Made my Super Rugby debut, and then went up to take a high ball against the Jaguars in Durban. Came down and fell a bit awkwardly, and obviously damaged that same spot that I had surgery on. So that's where the knee problem sort of started, around about April in 2017. I was laid off and did rehab for about 3 months, but it was nothing serious. I didn't have to go for surgery. It was just I had re-damaged that exact same spot. So I'd damaged it again, needed to go and do some rehab on it. Spent three months out of the game. But then later that year, I came back stronger. I came back in the Curry Cup in 2017, and I played a full season of Curry Cup with the Sharks. So the Lions then referenced back to an old MRI scan that I had when my knee was still in its sort of infant stage of injury. And that was their reference, and that's where everything got mixed up. And according to that MRI, I needed surgery, but that MRI was taken a year before.
So it wasn't a real assessment of
where I was at the time.
And you had played a Curry Cup
season. I'd played a full Curry Cup season with the Sharks. I was training every day. I was playing. So it didn't really make sense. We tried to fight the case. We tried to get references from specialists that I'd seen about the knee.
To get a
current assessment. Spoken to the Sharks doctors to send a reference through to the Lions. I suppose... It just all, yeah, just all fall to ashes.
Then that's what then created that.
Yeah,
and then limbo, yeah, left the Sharks.
Left the Sharks. Lions didn't take me on, and
there are 14 unions in this country. Though, are you telling me that not even one could say come through?
Well, I suppose what I've heard is that the Lions are probably one of the most strict on their medicals, one of the most strict unions in the country on their medicals. And when the Lions said, no, his knee's not 100%, so I think everybody else jumped on board and said, if the Lions are saying he's not good enough or he's not ready to play, then we're also not going to take a chance or take a risk. So,
crazy, man. Like, there's unions without a fly half, they'll pass up a very good one, a junior Springbok for... I don't want to say, but I do feel like, you know what, screw it, bruh. Like, for instance, look at the Kings, right? They've had to refresh their squad, they've got new investors and whatnot who are black.
Yeah.
And then they go and get Dimitri Katchakilis.
Yeah.
No disrespect, he's very injury prone, right? And he's a whole lot older.
Yeah.
And you know what you get from Dimitri Katchakilis, right?
Mm.
And so now, and he's gonna come with a European salary because he's coming from the UK,
exactly, right?
So he's gonna demand a certain level of salary. And are you telling me that you can't look in the country first? Say, okay, if we're doing this, let's see what the options are in the country, and then from there, if indeed we are maxed out, then we can go and bring him back to
Europe. I get you. And a lot of like what I was fighting for, especially last year. So the Lions thing happened towards the end of 2017. And then 2018 was a year where I was trying to get myself strong and fit and prove myself to other unions. And so we knocked on the doors of a few unions. Province, for example, the Pumas, the Griquas. So we knocked on a few doors. The Bulls, for example. And it was all about, okay, yes, the Lions have said my knee needs surgery, which it didn't. But give me an opportunity to show you that I'm fit, I'm ready, I can play a full
tournament.
Season.
Give
me a tournament, give me 6 months, give me a 3-week trial, give me whatever you need to give me. For me, it's not about the money, and that's what I say in the song and in the video. It's not about the money or the crowds or the fame. I literally just want to do this because it's something that has been embedded in me since birth, basically. You know, as I came out, my older brother is the reason I started playing rugby.
Yeah.
And that's the reason I do this, is because I love it. It's because I love the physical confrontation of it. I love taking defenders on, beating people, putting people into space. That's what I love. I don't care about the money. And that's why I say 2018 was literally trying to find an opportunity somewhere.
And it was
literally, I don't care about the money. Pay me the bare minimum.
Yeah.
Even if it's for 6 months, pay me the bare minimum. Give me 6 months to prove to you that the knee is not a problem. I've still got that ability. I can still be a game winner for you.
Yeah.
And just give me an opportunity and I'll show that to you. And if I do well, you contract me long term. If not, then we tried. You gave me an opportunity and at least you tried. So, it's just frustrating.
No,
it's just really frustrating. No takers.
Wow.
That's what I say. Maybe playing the game is not for me. Maybe influencing the game off-field, behind the scenes, maybe that's for me.
That was my interview with Ini Khatebe, fly half, former fly half of the Sharks, who I'm hoping will get a second or third bite at the cherry in terms of professional rugby. Really sad that, you know, looking at the makeup of the franchise teams, both in Pro 14 as well as in this year's Super Rugby competition, that nobody can find a place for Ini Khatebe to be in the squad. He can play fullback and he can play fly half, yet you've got some pretty inept guys who are holding on to those number 10 positions and doing nothing tangible with those opportunities. And here's a guy, won the Murray Cup, like I said in the interview, for College Rovers, playing against Durban Collegians. And what I saw there is that the kid still got it. He's still got the ability. That much is without a doubt. And he says that his knee is all right. And he wants to prove himself. He wants to prove that he can play. He wants, you know, anybody to chuck him a bone. And I think there's enough space there in the Sharks squad for them to call him up. He is in Durban. He will be playing for College Rovers this year. And hopefully somebody does snap him up. It is unfortunate that his career was hampered by the injury that he had, of course, and the bungle that happened between the Golden Lions and the Sharks in terms of contracting him. And yeah, there's a lot in that story. And like I said, for more, the latest SA Rugby magazine, Bongimbonambi in the cover, on the cover, yeah, that's where you'll find this Ini Khadebe interview. But before I close off, I want to give a shout out to the Proteas women's team for a sensational victory on Sunday against England at the T20 Women's World Cup that's currently on the go. And I want us to hear a little bit from the T20 ladies who were unbelievable, if I can say so as a South African. I watched the game, I watched it in full. Luckily, it was playing at a reasonable hour here in South Africa. And it was around about 1 o'clock here. It was on Sunday. And just the way they bowled, Danae Fanica with her spin, Ayabonga Kaka with a medium to fast pace, her variation as well. She was very, very good. And then the batters as well. I think Lizelle Lee as well as Danae really set up the platform for the chase. And then, you know, Mignon Dupre came on and it was time to finish the job off. And she did that in spectacular fashion. Some of the catching was absolutely sensational. And I think, you know, Hilton Mureng and company, everybody involved with the women's team at the moment. And of course, the Proteas women's team did make the semifinals of the last 50 over World Cup. So this is a great step forward, a leap forward, in fact, to beat England, whom they'd never beaten in an ICC-sanctioned event. So to beat them for the first time, that was absolutely, absolutely breathtaking. And I hope this then propels them to go even further forward going into the competition. Right, and this is Mignon Dupre talking about how great it was to finally get one over England. Listen to this little snippet coming in from the T20 Women's World Cup. Mignon Dupre.
Yeah, I must say, you can see the smile on my face. It's nice to finally be able to beat them in an ICC tournament. This is the seventh one I've played in and we haven't actually gotten close. Like you mentioned, there has been a few nightmares in the past, but to finally put that behind us and to move forward is really exciting. No, I think it's definitely crucial for us. I think we've always known how strong we are, and we know within the team we've got match winners, and we know we've got one of the best bowling attacks in the world, but sometimes at these events we haven't really showed what we're capable of. So to finally do that, I think it's one of those things where we kind of, if you had a monkey on the back, it's now done and dusted. And I think this would just give us the boost we need to know we can go. Because we said this year around, we want to go one step further than the semi-finals and take a World Cup trophy home. The thing for us this time around is it's one of those things you don't need to touch base on it. We know that the reality, but for us, I think this year around, we just decided that we want to spend a lot more focus.
That's it from me, Sboom Jikeliso, and you've been listening to the Sports Live podcast. Thank you so much for joining us. Do also catch us on timeslive.co.za, as well as Sowetan Live, Business Live. We are also on Iono FM, the Apple Podcast Store, or wherever you get your podcasts. It could be Spotify, Stitcher, CastBox, Pocket Cast, wherever. To connect with us, please use the hashtag SportsLive. Share your comments with us at TimesLive or at Sowetan Live on Twitter. A big thank you goes out to the multimedia live team led by Scott Peter Smith and producer Paige Muller, as well as a Tiso Black Star Digital Sports Department headed by Mninawa Mchana Ntloko. Our sound and audio mixer is Innocent Manyike. From us at the Sports Live Podcast, it's goodbye for now.